Here comes heaven. On Christmas, the King of creation came down from heaven to earth. Amen. But the problem was, no one knew about it. It was silent. In fact, it had been so silent for so long. You see, up until this night, there had been nothing new from God for 400 years. Can you imagine waiting? See, what happened was, before this, prophets would come as the voice of God, and they would say, this is how you please God. This is what God desires of you. And don't worry, hold on to hope. The Messiah, the Prince of Peace, the Wonderful Counselor, he is coming. And they would say this over and over until they stopped. And then for 400 years, people wondered, was the prophecy true? Was God's promise actually going to happen? With every changing regime, they wondered. See, first it was the Babylonians, then the Persians, then the Egyptians, and eventually now the Romans. And every time a new regime came, they hoped, is this the king? Is he here? Is it now? Has heaven come to earth? Only to find silence. Can you imagine what that feels like? I mean, for us, it could be likened to not receiving an answer to a text, a DM, an email, or maybe it's that anxiousness or the anticipation of the news you're waiting for, or an opportunity, and then when you don't hear back over and over, how do you feel? Forgotten? Unheard? Maybe even abandoned or ignored? Well, that's how they felt for 400 years. I mean, we can't even handle 4 seconds of silence. So imagine how they felt. And they probably wondered with every passing generation, should we keep following this God? Should we keep having faith in this promise? Because I don't see it coming true. Is God that silent that he doesn't care about us anymore? And they did think he was silent. But he wasn't, was he? He was working. He's always working. Even when we can't see it. Even when we can't feel it. Even when we can't hear it. God is always working. Because you see, his plan was in motion for the right time and the right purpose and the right place. He sends an angel to a teenager named Mary. And Luke, the apostle, he investigated the life of Jesus from birth all the way to resurrection, and he records it in his gospel. And here's what he said about this interaction between the angel and Mary. The angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, you have found favor with God." See, Mary had kept her faith, kept hoping, kept believing the promise would come true. So she found favor. The angel continues, "You will be with child and give birth to a son, and you are to name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever." And here's the part you got to pay attention to. "His kingdom will never end." At that moment, Mary realized what had happened. The promise came true, and she was going to be the carrier of the child. The silence had been broken by the voice of an angel, and joy filled her heart that the child would be born. The Messiah, the King of Kings, the creator of the universe would be on this earth. But then there was some drama, because Mary was pregnant. Joseph wasn't the father. So you can imagine what's going on in this situation, right? And throughout this whole time, they were knowing God had come to earth. The Son of God was here. And so what happens next is Caesar decrees a census and everyone has to go back to their hometown. And so Joseph packs up a very pregnant Mary, puts her on a donkey, yeah, comfortable, and then takes her on a very long ride to Bethlehem. And there they find no room. But one innkeeper has compassion and says, "Well, I've got a stable full of animals. You can stay there." And it was there, surrounded by animals, the King of Kings was born and placed in a feeding trough, a manger. And it was still silent because the only people who knew were Mary and Joseph. Not exactly the way a king would be announced, right? See, kings back then, when they had children, everyone knew. There'd be a proclamation throughout all the land. There'd be parties, dancing, parades, a giant celebration thrown. And here, nothing happened. Well, actually, something did happen. And Luke continues and explains what happens next, and it was all part of God's plan. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. So the next group of people God chooses to reveal his son has come to earth was shepherds, the lowliest of the lows, the people who are outcast by society. It's because this is a different kind of king, wasn't he? It was a humble king. It was not a king coming to overthrow all the governments and to become the next world superpower. No, this is a king who is coming to rule our hearts and to change things forever so we can have a relationship with our heavenly Father. Luke continues, but the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. And what was this good news that caused great joy? Well, this child would be born to die and to forgive us of all our sins, where our sins will no longer be counted against us. And God had come near to us, which blows my mind if you think about it, that God would choose to come to this earth versus requiring us to earn his love and us to come to him and seek out for him. But this is my favorite part. It says, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. See, back then, the nation of Israel thought the news was just for them. But the angel said it's for all people, even for you, for me, for all of Hamilton Mill, for the world, for all of eternity. This good news that we celebrate on Christmas is for all of us, that the King had come to free us from our sins and to save us from our sins. The angel continues, today in the town of David, a savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And at that moment, something happened, because still Mary and Joseph and the shepherds, they were the only ones who knew about the new king. The angels, though, they couldn't take it anymore. Like, we have to tell the world that Jesus is here, because here's what happens next. Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. This one angel is accompanied by an orchestra of angelic voices saying, glory to God, he is here. And at that moment, everyone knew, because the shepherds ran and saw the baby and told everyone the king has come. You see, this is such good news that Jesus came to earth, because when he came to earth, when he started growing up, he showed us, his whole goal was to show us what the Father was like, our heavenly Father. Jesus would say things like, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've heard my voice, you've heard the heart of the Father. And he's loving, he's kind, he's not angry at you. In fact, he came to you, he humbled himself to come to you, because Jesus was the voice of God. In fact, he was more than that. He was actually God in the flesh, so that he could show to us that what it was like to live on this earth. He showed to us what the Father was like, but he also relates to us because he's been through what we've been through, and he knows what we go through every single day, that he would love you. There's one statement that the Apostle John records that changed everything that day. And here's what he said. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, the reason we celebrate Christmas, because Jesus came to earth to remind us that we are never alone. That when we walk in darkness, we have the voice of God with us every single step of the way. And when you surrender your life to Jesus and you surrender your will to Jesus, you'll never walk in darkness again. You'll never be alone ever again, because of his voice. And you'll never walk in this darkness. You'll always have the light of life with you, because his voice is so important. His voice gives you so much hope. His voice dispels the fear and encourages you. His voice is what's important in your life and guides you every single step of the way. His voice is what reminds us that we have the light of the world living inside of us, and that we never have to fear death, because we have life, we have hope, we have help. So this Christmas, let's never forget that. Let's always be reminded that hope came to the world and hope restored our relationship to our Heavenly Father. So my question to you, my challenge to you is, have you allowed Jesus to be the voice of your life? Is Jesus's voice the major point of your life? Have you surrendered your will to Jesus's will? Or are you still holding on to the notion that God's giving you the silent treatment or that he's angry at you? But he's not, because his voice dispels everything. It dispels the silence of tragedy with hope that we will be with him in heaven. And he offers that to you every single day. So tonight, that's what we celebrate. Tonight, that's what Christmas is all about. That the Savior of the world would come down to heaven to be with us. And that's why we celebrate Christmas, because that's when love broke through the silence. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you so much for loving us, that you would come that Christmas as a baby. In that humility, that you would care so much to draw near to us instead of expecting us to constantly draw near to you and to focus on you and to work for your love, but instead you chose to come to us. So let us remember that every single Christmas. Let us surrender our will to your will. Let us choose to follow you every single day, because you make life better and make us better at life. And we're so grateful for that. So thank you for sending Jesus, the King, to come. And it's in his mighty name we pray. Amen.